Good morning. All right, so my name is Scott White from the Utah Department of Health. So today I'm going to be presenting for my colleague, Joel Hartzell, who was unable to attend. So I'm the EPI manager for our Prevention, Treatment, and Care program. We're a small state, so we cover STDs, HIV, refugee health, TB, and Hep C. So we have great integration because of that, but also a few personnel. So today I'm going to be presenting on risk factors for gonorrhea in the Wasatch Front, and it's a matched case control study that we performed, well, that Joel performed. So before I go into the study, I wanted to give you a little bit of background about Utah and the morbidity that we experience. So Utah is a small state. We have a population of approximately 3 million, but it is very condensed in an urban corridor. So we have about 2.25 million of our population that lives within four counties. And the counties west of there, Davis, Utah, Weber, and Salt Lake, where the Salt Lake City is. And we also have 13 local health districts. So these are presented on the map here. And those local health districts are responsible for doing all the investigations and then reporting to the state level. And as you can see, there are four local health districts as well that are responsible for the largest population. And in terms of our chlamydia and gonorrhea cases, we are somewhat unique in that we investigate all of our chlamydia and gonorrhea investigations and do disease investigation and contact tracing with everyone. So that provides us with a very rich data set on our cases, and it's also a lot of work, so we want to recognize our local health departments in doing that. And so in terms of morbidity, in 2015 we reported 53.1 cases per 100,000, so we're considered a low morbidity state that was ranked 44th in the United States. However, there's discrepancies that exist throughout the state. So within the metropolitan area, we had a much higher case rate at 130 cases of gonorrhea per 100,000. So furthermore, we've seen some really dramatic increases in our gonorrhea rates in the past 6 years. So in 2011, which was kind of a low point, we saw 9.8 cases per 100,000 population, which went up to 52.1 cases per 100,000 population in 2015. So this represents over a 400% relative five-year increase. And also that increase has disproportionately been affecting our female population. So you can see we went from 5.4 cases in 2010 to 34.1 cases per 100,000 in 2015. So that five-year increase from 2011 is over 600%. And of note, our preliminary data for 2016 shows that we're continuing this increase. So we reported 68.9 cases per 100,000 in 2016, which that's about a 30% relative increase from 2015. And this little drop that we see here on the right in our female case rate seems to reverse in 2016, so that seems just to be a blip. When we started looking at this data, or when Joel started looking at this data, he hypothesized that this drive in increase in rate might be due to more heterosexual transmission, and so we decided to dive into that a little bit further. So on this slide, we can see the sexual orientation among our male gonorrhea cases during those 5 years, and you'll see the percentage reporting MSM does seem to lower the last 3 years. Which would support this hypothesis that we're seeing more heterosexual transmission. However, our percentage of our unknown status increased during that time period, so that might be somewhat biased. So to further investigate some of the risk factors, we decided to undergo a couple supplemental activities at the state level. So the first one was in 2014. So the Utah Department of Health, in collaboration with those local health departments, created an 8-question supplemental survey. And this was asked when they were conducting the disease investigations for gonorrhea, so for all cases, and addressed risk factors such as drug use, insurance status, and incarceration. And just a few notable results from this. We saw that females were more likely to report meth use than male gonorrhea cases. Our female cases were also more likely to report incarceration of themselves or a partner within the last 12 months. And males were more likely to report anonymous sex than females in that time period. So this gave us some information that we thought we could utilize in helping our prevention efforts, but we wanted to dive further into this and see how these risk factors compare to our general population. And so what was decided and what Joel underwent was a matched case control study to get more further information. So this study was funded by the Utah Department of Health, the Bureau of Epidemiology, and the research was approved by our Institutional Review Board, and all cases and controls received verbal informed consent before participating. Essentially, there was a 39-question survey that was decided upon and then administered to all the cases and controls, and this was done by contacting these participants and controls by phone and administering it that way. And so we definitely want to thank notably all of our interns that called a lot of people and asked very sensitive information. So the inclusion criteria for our cases were greater than or equal to 18 years of age with a lab-confirmed gonorrhea infection within the past 90 days. And they had to reside in the Wasatch Front, so like I mentioned, those four counties that have our highest population and also our highest burden of gonorrhea cases. So we enrolled 191 cases into the study, and then we wanted to do a matched case control study, so we pulled the controls from BRFS survey data, and we contacted them. They were matched on sex, 10-year age group, and county, and we were able to enroll 382 controls, so that would be a 2-to-1 match that we were able to analyze. And from our controls, we did exclude anyone that self-reported gonorrhea within the past 90 days of interview, just to make sure we weren't biasing the results. So in the effort of time, I'm just going to go through some kind of notable results today, but I think that there's a lot more that we're going to be able to analyze in the future. So for substance use, we wanted to look at just basic drug use and then specifically meth use because we saw that in our supplemental survey. So among cases, they were more likely to report drug use than our control population with an odds ratio of 3.7, and they were much more likely to report meth use with an odds ratio of 20.5. Notable there, the confidence interval is pretty wide just because of the lower rate reporting meth use. And also notably, we looked at meth use between our male cases and our female cases and saw that males, again, were reporting more meth use than our female cases at an odds ratio of 5.3. We also looked again at incarceration, so self-reported incarceration of self or partner within the last 12 months. And again, our cases were more likely to report this than our controls with an odds ratio of 12.3. And our male cases were also... in this case, not statistically different than our female cases. So in our supplemental survey, we had seen that there was a difference, but however, in this larger study, we didn't find any significant difference there. And finally, we want to look to investigate kind of our anonymous sex. So the proxy measure here was reported the use of an app or a website to meet a sex partner. And we saw that our cases did report this more likely than our controls, odds ratio of 17.4 for males and then also 6.8 for females. So amongst both males and females, our cases were reporting the use of an app or a website more frequently than our controls. And also notably, if both males and females were reporting that they utilized an app or website to meet a sex partner, they had substantially more sex partners. So females were reporting 30% more partners, males were reporting 60% more sex partners. And when we dived into that a little bit further, our MSM, MSMW population that utilized an app was reporting 2 to 3 times more partners than those that did not. So some basic conclusions. We had some limitations to the study. We originally anticipated that we'd be able to do more controls, and we were trying to do a 3-to-1 match. There was actually fairly good, I think, uptake and response from the general public in answering very sensitive questions, but we were only able to do a 2-to-1 match, so it limits some of our statistical tests. Also, the odds ratios that were presented are unadjusted, so that's some of the future work that we're going to be doing is adjusting those. But we think that this information will be really great to give back to our local health departments and be able to guide some of their partner service activities, but also their prevention campaigns in the future. And I think with that, I will end, but you can ask me questions later. Thanks.